Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Some of you are just expecting a nice Easter Sunday morning church. Hallelujah. And that's okay. Hallelujah. But over here, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of what He's done for us. Hallelujah. There's none like Him. None like Him. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy are You, Father. Worthy are You, Lord, to be praised. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I've got four young men, hallelujah, that are waiting to speak into your hearts this morning. Hallelujah. It's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pick which one you want. But this morning, it's going to be Abe, Jason, Steve, and Hank. Hallelujah. And the way I feel right now, I think I'll just cancel all four of those guys because I want to preach. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't have to clap. You don't have to clap. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to let them preach, man. Praise God. How many of you know that God loves you this morning? Hallelujah. He did. He really did pay for your audience, for you to be in His presence. He paid for that. Take advantage of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. Well, I better let Abe come up. Brother Abe, can you come on up? Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah.
So before when I heard about this and I'd be talking today, I was just kind of thinking, I was like, okay, God, let it be this one. Let it be the one that is full of me talking about joyful things. Because the last time I was up here for Sunday, I talked about suffering. And then when I did a full sermon, I talked about the lukewarm church in Laodicea. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to joke about that kind of stuff. So, here it is. Something funny. But just in the beginning. I'm sorry. April Fools? No. So, what I want to talk about, let's go to the Mark chapter 14. It's starting at verse 32. So I want to talk about Jesus in the garden. And this is just moments before He's going to be taken into custody. And He was going to be, put on trial. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be mocked. And He's going to be crucified. So it starts out at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with Him, and He began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," He said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." And I want you to notice something in there. Because, we may think about Jesus as, this person who is strong, and He's that way because, He's fully man, He's fully God. But He was fully man, and He also had emotions. And he was overwhelmed to the point of death with sorrow. And you also see that He didn't let His emotions rule Him. And that was important. Because then it goes on to 35, it says, going a little farther, He fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from Him. "Abba, Father," He said, "everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me. Yet not what I will, but You will." And to think about it, to think about God's will, it just sounds like something that's just nebulous thing, something that, we can't obtain. And, in relationship to the way, the world's going to go on, maybe, the way that the universe is going to go on, yes. But when it relates to us and our lives, there is a way to discern what His will is for our life. And so I want to go to Romans 12:2. And it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I would say that the scripture was brought really fresh to my mind recently. I was at another church, and it was a meeting of different church leaders. And there was a discussion about, what do we do about the people who are just overwhelmed, too busy? You know, how do we make volunteering easy for them? Because, you know, after work, a lot of times what they do is they have these other activities that they're involved in outside. If they have kids, what they got to do is they got to put them in as many programs as possible, because that's what the mark of a successful parent is these days. And I was just too timid at the time to say this, but I was thinking about this right here. It's like, what about Romans 12? And, you know, I did agree that we need to make volunteering easy for people, and that we needed to be flexible. But, you know, I didn't agree with the part about people being so filled with everything else going on in the world that they didn't have any time for God. Because it doesn't mean we can't do extra activities. It doesn't mean we don't involve our kids things outside of church, because we need to be among non-believers, because that's how we, you know, tell them about Jesus. But, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. Is what we're doing, is it glorifying God? And are you building relationships where you can share the good news with them if they don't believe? Or is it something you're just doing because everybody else does it? Because I want you to get this one thing. If you get anything out of what I say today, it's going to be in that Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. And I mean, it's so important you understand it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Because it's very easy to fall into that trap. Because, you know, we have our friends, we have our family, we have our coworkers, and we see, you know, social media, and we just see how everybody else is living their life, and they'll tell you how great it is. But, you know, they'll just tell us, well, you know, if you're going through this, you need to try this. If you're going through that, try this. You know, if you do this, it'll be great. While we're all just leaving God out of the whole decision-making process. So, you know, it says in there, you will know what God's will is if you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So, how do you renew your mind? Oops. You read this book. You know scripture. And you don't just read it and know it, but you find ways to apply it to your life. You also pray without ceasing, and you worship God while you're here and while you're out of here. You worship at all times. If you look at the verse just before this, I didn't give it to you, but Romans 12:1, it says that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, and that is our true and proper worship. It's not just about us singing. It's not just about, you know, saying, thank you, God. It's about how we live our lives. That's our true and proper worship. So, one thing is that, so how do you know God's will then? Part of it is you need to seek it. So I made this awesome Instagram, Facebook kind of thing, because it seems more profound that way, right? To know God's will, you need to seek it. That author, A.B. Nix right there. Notice I made it tiny. All right, because who's that guy? All right, so the other thing I need to talk about too is like, do you think you know do you think you know God's will, but you're not really following it? Because I can tell you, just recently I was corrected. Because, yeah, I've been in here. We had some issues with the sound system. Also, we just finished an event, so I made a video for it. So I've been in the church, and just a few days I've been here for like 20 hours just working on those two things. And when I was finished, it's like, okay, relieved. Finally, it's done. But then I heard God. So when are you going to do what I told you to? And I neglect, God really put something on my heart that I need to do. And I haven't done it yet. Because, you know, it is helpful that we have good sound in here. But is that really what people are seeking? Good sound? Or are they seeking to know the truth about God? So, you know, if it's something that you know God's telling you to do something, don't neglect it. You should do it because it's important. And, you know, why should we follow God's will? I want to take a look at 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. And it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." And I don't know about you, but I'd like to live forever. Rather than, you know, seeking out these things on this earth that they're going to be gone someday. It's worthless. And, you know, speaking of wills, you know, there's a lot of time, too, where we may not know what God's will is, but we know what our will is, what we want to do, and that we don't really seek out what God wants for us to do, but instead we just ask Him to bless what we plan to do. And, you know, I was just thinking, it's like, why would you do that? It's like this God that says He's made us His masterpiece and to prepared for us good works to do in advance. He's got a plan for us. He's also, you know, the God whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How can we think that we know better than God? We should be seeking God's will. And part of God's will is just obeying His commands. Now, I don't mean just the Ten Commandments, but I mean obeying His commands. And it's throughout Scripture that He gives us those. What are the best places to start? It's going to be Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37. And this is when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, the Bible, there's so many times where it gives us a clear, simple answer, but it's so hard for us to carry those out because we have this thing still on us, this flesh, and it can be very selfish at times. And I just want to look at that, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. Okay, it's very important. We should love reading this book. It shouldn't be a chore. We should love worshiping God. It shouldn't be a chore. We should love carrying out what God has called us to do. And then also when it says, love your neighbor as yourself, I think so many times we just read that and we think, be nice to people. Okay. But I want you to really look at those words. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. How much do you love yourself? What are you willing to do for yourself? You're going to make sure you're fed, you're clothed. You're not going to go without. We should feel that way about these people here. You know, this church, not the building, but the people, we should love one another. We should treat each other like family. And, you know, just I was just thinking about it. When you're in church, if you love God, you probably wouldn't be watching the clock. I used to be one of those people. I used to watch the clock and how long is it going to go? I hope we can get out quickly because as it's a big church, it's like, because, you know, the parking lot really jams up, you know. But, you know, we shouldn't be in a rush to get out of this place. We should want to stay here amongst the believers in the presence of God. And then the other thing, too, about loving one another, you know, I've seen this myself, and I just feel bad that I'm not doing more, is that, you know, sometimes people will kind of hang around in here after church. Just thinking, it's like, you know what? Maybe they need just somebody to talk to, just somebody to pray with them, somebody to encourage them. But then I'm just consumed with, I got to get the stuff for the podcast. I got to do this, that. And I just got to remind myself that things are not important. People are what's important. And showing love to people is what's important. So if you can, just when you come to church, don't look just to receive something from God or to receive something from somebody speaking, but look to give something to somebody. Look to pray for somebody. Think about how you can encourage somebody. And just be willing to do that. Be willing to give up just a little bit of time, because just that little bit of time can make such a difference in somebody's life. Because we have no idea what people are going through. And this should be the place that they can expect to be encouraged and loved. So, you know, sometimes God's plan for us is to go through some tough situations. And, you know, that's to mature us, to let us grow in our faith and understanding of God. So let's go back to Gethsemane. It's Mark 14, verse 37. But just say, you know, Jesus didn't seem too excited about what he was about to go through. Sorrowful to the point of death, right? And he had prayed so many times for God to make another way that he didn't have to go through that suffering. But every time Jesus prayed, he said, not my will, but your will. And he just faced God's plan for him the right way. And his disciples, not so much. So we'll see that in a moment. It says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. I was thinking, you know, just, okay, they can't stay awake. Jesus is going through this terrible ordeal, and they just can't stay awake for a little while. But then it was in Luke that I saw the answer for it. It wasn't just because they were tired. Luke chapter 22:45 and 46 says, when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, notice that before it said that Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow. And he was the one that actually had to go through all this. They just had to be a witness to it. And even then, some of them didn't witness it firsthand. So, you know, just they felt sorrow. And instead, they just gave up. Because have you ever felt something where you just felt despair? That, you know, if we are not careful, instead of handling it like Jesus, we can handle it like the disciples did. Now think about this. These are the people that are closest to Jesus. These are the people that Jesus chose to be close to him and spread the gospel. And they were tempted by this and they fell into that, that they were overcome with that sorrow. So instead of seeking God in prayer, obeying his commands, his will, they fell into the trap of giving up. Many times we fall into that trap. I've gone through it before. Instead of pressing in, I retreated. I pulled away from God. I pulled away from the church body, which is meant to grow me, strengthen me, encourage me. I just want to tell you, don't be blinded by the world. Don't handle anything like the world will handle it. If you see your life looks like everybody else is around you and they aren't Christians, then there's probably something that needs to change. And that's why it's so important we know what's in this book. Not only that we know what's in this book, but we actually live it out with our lives. So I just want to say, don't give in. Seek God's will. Obey his commands. And when you start that thing in Romans 12 where it says, you know, renew your mind, what will happen is your thoughts will start to line up with God's thoughts because you'll understand him. You'll know him. You'll hear him. And he's going to guide you. And it's not something where it's always going to be like boring, something that's going to be where you just can't have any fun. Because that's not true. He commands us to have joy, right? We should be the joyful ones. We shouldn't always be these people that are, you know, just down in the dumps. Like, sick again. Lost my job. It's like, no, we should know that God is behind us and that he's going to pull us through everything. And that not only is he going to pull us through, but we're going to learn something from that. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be matured. I could attest that to myself because there are so many times that I've seen so many amazing things, so many awesome things. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was in LA and my wife and I, we were being featured extras for King & Country video. Like, who am I? I'm not in that industry. I don't do anything like that. Why am I going to be in there? But you know what? God's going to give you some fun stuff to do sometimes. So, you know, don't think that everything you do is just going to be this joyless thing and it's just, I don't know, just this ritual tradition thing. Instead, it's this relationship. And like I said, you'll see amazing things happen in your life. You'll be a part of them because God will be using you to do them. Because everybody who believes in Jesus is given a gift, something that you are to use in service to God and the church. So, you know, somebody told me my life was charmed. And all I can say is that it is blessed because God is behind it. And God is behind all of it. And that can be the same for each and every one of you. Just seek out what God has for your life. And he'll do something awesome in it. All right. So I feel like I have to be kind of like the hype man now. Because I'm going to be bringing up our next speaker. So he is our percussionist over here. He also plays the keys. They're more like house keys and car keys, but he plays the keys. So, Jason Ochoa, please come forward.
Good morning. Got my water and my drinks. I get cotton mouth a lot. when I speak in front of people. So bear with me. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me get all set up here. Real quick, can I get every kid to come up here for a second? Make it quick. Run. Quickly. There you go. Oh, thank you. Yeah. There you go. Take one. Go put one. If you guys want to wear these. There we go. Take them to your parents. Thank you. You're welcome. I went to Burger King, as you can tell. I bought a lot of hamburgers. I said, can I have 30 hamburgers? Thank you. And they gave me 30 crowns. If you guys want to go ahead and put those on, anybody else? I got a couple more. Anybody else want a crown? Crown? I got crowns here, so you guys want a crown. A couple months ago, I was on my way to my parents' house by myself to meet up with my family. They live in Sierra Vista. And I was playing a worship song in the car. And I was just singing away. You know, when I'm in the car, not even in the shower, I really don't sing. But in the car, I just let go. Especially if it's a worship song, so I'm not afraid. I don't care what the javelinas think. I'd let go. And I was just singing the song, and the Lord spoke to me during the song. My message, that's what it's going to be about. I just want to share it. If you can put the song. Can I get these lights turned off? Not these lights, but just how we had it for, there you go. Hopefully we can start singing the song in this church, and it's a sweet song. No, not the video, just just the lyrics, the slide. The song is called Worthy of It All. If you guys are taking notes, write it down, look it up on YouTube. It's a great song. So it goes, all the saints, I'm going to say it, I'm not going to sing it. Trust me, you guys don't want to hear me sing. I mean, puts a whole new meaning in casting out demons and humans. You are worthy. Demons, Linda, get out of here. So anyhow, all the saints and angels, they bow before the throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb, and they sing, you are worthy of it all. For from you all are things, and to you are all things. Lord, you deserve the glory. And then it just goes, this day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Remember in the tabernacle, they burned their altar of incense. And so what that represents is our praises to the Lord. Let our praises just go up and just sing our praises, sing our worship. And then I start thinking, Lord, go back to the first verse, if you could, please. These elders, it says all the saints and elders, you know, they bow before the Lord. And the saint and the four elders, they take off their crowns and they blade them before the Lord. And who are the, when the Bible's not very clear who the 24 elders are, we know that 12 of them are the apostles. I mean, if I'm wrong, I mean, there's Bible scholars here, and if I'm wrong, please excuse me. But we do know they are beings. And the Lord does speak about us receiving our crowns when we get to heaven. And that's what I want to speak about. Go back to my notes here. Yeah, Revelations 4:10. So excuse me if I'm here shaking as my voice. I'm like everybody else. I'm nervous. Kids woke up this morning. Oh my gosh, the bunny came. I'm like, how do you know? The eggs are here and they left rabbit droppings. So I said, that wasn't rabbits. All right. So some of you get that later. Revelations 4:10, the 24 elders fell before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory, the honor, and the power. So the 24 hours, I'm going to be reading just straight from my notes. The 24 hours of wearing the crowns. The Bible talks about the elders and how they just humble themselves. And at that point, I start thinking, Lord, who am I? Lord, who am I to receive a crown? Who? I am not worthy. Lord, look what I did yesterday. Look what I did 5 minutes ago. Look what I did in the past. Lord, I am not worthy to receive a crown. I am not worthy to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. Because that's where the Lord says we're going to be at. We're going to be sitting right there at the right hand, right there with Jesus, just right there. That's what he's called us. And it just hit me. I mean, it was just an epiphany. I was like, Lord, I am not worthy. I am a stupid individual. And at that point, as clear as day, the Lord spoke to me. And he told me, this is who you are because of me, because of what I did on Calvary, on the cross. And as he starts speaking to me, my singing turned into tears, and I couldn't sing anymore. I just cried, and I cried, and I cried. This is exactly what he said. This is who I am in Christ. He says, he has given me the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. He is giving us the authority. He says, he told me, and I'm going to speak it, and I'm going to proclaim it, and I think we all should do it. I am royalty. I have destiny. I have been set free by the blood of Jesus, of what he did at Calvary. I am made for his glory. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a workmanship of his hand. I am saved by grace through faith. I am more than a conqueror. I am no longer a slave to sin. And here's another good song. If you guys are taking notes, you guys want to listen to. It's called, I Am No Longer a Slave of Fear. One of my favorite songs says, I am no longer a slave to fear. Lord, you split the sea so I can walk right through it. I lost my notes. Okay. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Lord, you rescued me so I can stand tall and sing. I am a child of the living God. That's who I am in Christ. So the Lord says, not me, ho. You are worthy. You are worth it. You are worthy to sit with me on the right-hand side of me. You are worthy to be there with my son, Jesus. You are worthy to wear the crowns that I'm going to present you. And so the crowns, that's basically what I want to talk about. There are 5 crowns that the Bible talks about. I'm not going to get into each one because we'll be here. I mean, that's a whole another message. But real quick, there's a crown of life that's going to be offered to us. There's imperishable crown. There's a crown of righteousness, crown of rejoicing, and crown of glory. And as I was like looking into each crown and kind of finding out the meanings of each crown, they all mean different things and how we can get them. They are a gift from the Lord. And they are available to you, to you, to you, to you, to me. It's up to us. What are we going to do? I mean, it's what we do in this life, what we can do to get them. And in essence, this is what they all kind of mean. And it goes right along with Abe. Abe, I'm glad you spoke this. I mean, it's totally the Lord. So, what are you doing for Jesus on this earth? Basically, is what all these crowns kind of represent. We should be living our lives. You guys ready? This is a good one. We should be living our lives in a manner that points to Jesus, and to impact other people around us. What are you living for? Are you living for money? Are you living for your job? Are you living for your kids? Those are all good things. And I believe it's a God thing that you long for an education, that you long for money, that you long to be a provider for your family, that you long, just whatever your passions are, absolutely wonderful. But what are you doing with them? What are you doing that's reflecting Jesus and that's touching people around you? I mean, that's the greatest, that's the greatest instruction that Jesus was here on this earth to tell us. It's about people, about touching lives around you. What are you doing in secret? Serving Pastor Henry. What are you doing in secret? Are you doing it because you want recognition? I'm about to jump ahead of myself. So all the things that we do to minister to our coworkers, I'm not talking about walking around sucking on lemons all day long and saying, Jesus, Jesus, and just being weird about it. I mean, just living your life and being an example. And I am not in any way a Bible-thumping individual where I'm going to be telling my coworkers, thumping them on the head and says, you need to be saved. It's not my personality. I am shy. But through the things I say to them, through the things I act, through the way things I respond to situations, they know I am not lying. They know that I am a Christian. And they know, guess who the first person they go to when they want to talk? It's me. And my dad said something to me yesterday, and I absolutely 100% believe him. And I know it's true. People that are hurting or like coworkers, they're drawn to me. Why? Because I'm a nice guy and I smile and whatever? No. It's the Spirit of the Lord. I live my life and I try, and not perfect in any manner, but I live my life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can ask my wife. I mess up, absolutely. But I am redeemed. The Lord has grace. So what are you guys, what are we living for? To get these crowns. The Bible also talks about our treasures are stored up in heaven. I mean, as a kid, like you try to do something for somebody at the church, you try to help out, and it's like, good man, brother, your treasures are stored up in heaven. Thank you. And you're thinking, my treasures stored up in heaven? What does that mean? I don't need treasures in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven already. Our treasures are not going to be worth anything in heaven. I'm not going to get no money. But that's carnal thinking. That's earthly thinking. I mean, if the Lord wants to give you treasures, I don't know what the treasures are. I'm sure it talks about it in the Bible. I personally don't know, but I want them. I don't care if they're not worth any money, but if the Lord is going to provide it for us in heaven, and knowing that it's not going to be worth any money, they must be something greater than money. Does that make sense? So what are we doing to get these treasures? I want these crowns. I want the treasures. Not because I want the treasure, because I just simply love him. I want to honor him. My dad asked me yesterday, he said, if you know my inheritance to you, is that why you love me? I said, no. So do you love me because possibly one day I can give you this, this, and this, and that? Is that why you love me? I said, no. He's like, then why do you respect me? I said, because I just simply, I love you. That's the same thing with the Lord. He's got gifts for you. Don't go after it because of the crowns, because of the treasures. Just go at them because you love him. You want to touch people around your life because it honors the Lord. In the end days, we're going to be judged. And I have it here. I don't have it by memory, sorry. But It's in there. Trust me. we're going to be judged, and we're going to stand before the throne. And everything that we do, whether you give money, you serve in the church, you're preaching the gospel, whatever you do is going to be run through fire. And whatever your intentions are, and whatever what your mindset is, it's either going to burn and just fall to ashes, or it's not. If you can want, go ahead and play that song. This is the same song that I wanted to sing, but I want to scare anybody out. There's other stuff. I got to hurry up and finish, but I'm just going to go ahead and skip through this. I want you all to kind of go with me. Just if you have to close your eyes. I want you guys to imagine. It's kind of like time warp, or not time warp, just warp yourself. Let's just go to the presence of the Lord. Some of you may not have any crowns yet. Some of you may only have just a few little bit, but it's never too late to change. The most important crown is the crown of life, and that is about salvation. You can earn your salvation today, earn your crown of salvation if you want today, if you don't have it. We are, like I said, we are stupid people, but through grace, by grace through faith, we can be saved. One day we're going to be standing before the Lord. And we're all going to be standing in line. And we're one by one, we're going to be stepping up to the plate. Standing before the Lord. And He's giving out crowns. But what I don't want is stand up before the Lord and have Him say, Jason, here's your crown. And I get my crown. This is what you did on earth. And He gives me a paper crown. Paper crowns, that's worth nothing. All the stuff that I did and done just burns. I don't want to be the guy standing around with ashes up to my knees. Does that make sense? I want to do stuff that's worthy. I want to do and work because I love the Lord and I want people's lives to change. I don't want a worthless crown and says, that's all you did. That's all you've done. You worked for yourself. You made a lot of money. And congratulations, Jason. But it's nothing. You have a big house, which in the name of Jesus, but you have a big house, but what'd you do with it? What was your intentions? Worthless, meaningless actions that you did on this earth just fall to the floor. That's not what I want. Instead, I want to stand before the Lord. I want a crown. I want a real crown that's worth something. Come on, everybody. Just say, if you can just imagine just standing before the Lord. I want Billy Graham to look at my crown and say, that's a nice crown. I want Steve Green. I don't know if you know Keith Green. You don't know who knew Keith Green is. He wrote one of the best songs in the world. It's called, Oh Lord, You're Beautiful. I want him to look at me and be like, dude, you got a nice crown. I want to come before the Lord, and as He stands in front of me, I fall to my knees. I want Him to say, well done, faithful child. Good and faithful child. You may enter into my presence. I want Him to come up to me with a crown and put it on my head. And I want to take it off and just put it before His feet and say, I'm not worthy, Jesus. And He's going to be like, no, mijo, you're worthy. You are my son.
You are royalty. You belong with me. And I say, Jesus, you are worthy of it all. Come on. You are worthy. Worthy of it all. I want my life to be blameless. So I just want to encourage you. Let's start living for the Lord. Let's start touching people's lives. Let's just start going after what the things of the Lord has gone for us. Let's go for the gifts. Let's go for the treasures. Let's go for the crowns. Come on, people. They are for us. Let's go after them. So I just want to encourage, and this is basically it. I just want to encourage you. Let's live our life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Education, money, all that is beautiful. But what are we doing with it? Because you are worthy of it all. Lord, from you, for you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Amen? So thank you. Let's... Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Sorry, I got a little emotional, but it's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. One of my old pastors, his name was Jerry Bernard. He used to sing a song. It's called "It's Real." It's real. It's real. So let's go after it. I just want to encourage you. Encourage you. And if you don't think you have a crown earned, today's the day of salvation. And I believe today we will give an opportunity to give your life right or for the first time. Let's get our crowns, people. Let's get our crown. Thank you. Amen. Next will be Steve.
Amen.
Let's give it up for Steve.
Man, that was a great act to follow there, I'll tell you. That was a pretty awesome job, I thought. All right, well, how many of you guys, you know that everything in the Bible, it has meaning, it has significance. I mean, there's not a little piece in there that's in there for no reason, but it's all very symbolic usually of things to come, things that God is doing or will be doing and done. So God knew the end from the beginning, right? So all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God. So as we go through here today, I got quite a few scriptures. We'll try to go through them pretty fast because we don't have a lot of time. But if you'll bear with me, we're going to go to Luke 24:27. Cool, I can see that. In the beginning, at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all scriptures, the things concerning himself. So in the beginning, with the books of Moses and through the prophets, we're going to see a picture what God has in Jesus Christ. We're going to see if we can't see him starting in some of the books of Moses, okay? Exodus 17:1. And it says, And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and he pitched there in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people did chide with Moses, and they said, "Give us water that we might drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why you chide with me? Wherefore, do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people that they almost ready to stone me? And the Lord said unto Moses, Go before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel and the rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people might drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Amen. So, if you could, Terry, could you bring up that picture? This is a rock that they truly believe is the one that Moses and the children of Israel actually were at. And this is a rock that they believe was that the water rushed out of. There's actually signs of water flow around that and washing down the hills. It's pretty cool. Happens to be in Saudi Arabia. It's a little bit of, you know, there's some controversy, I guess, there. You know, there always is going to be for different reasons. But it's an awesome-sized rock. Very impressive. If you look at it from a distance, it's kind of the only thing out there. It's pretty cool. So let's go to Matthew 26:31. And then saith Jesus unto them, All shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Okay, so where Moses smote the rock, the shepherd's going to be smote this night. Amen? Are you seeing it? Okay. Psalms 78:15-16. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them to drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. Amen. So that word clave the rock, if you remember that picture, that rock was split. And that word clave means to split. Pretty cool. It's pretty awesome, actually. That if that was... When Moses reached out his rod and he smote that rock, and that rock cracked. It's pretty cool. We got some other stuff coming up here. Amen. So, actually, you know what? If you guys think about it, remember when Jesus died on that cross, when he took his last breath, what happened to the veil in that temple? From top to the bottom, broken. Amen. It opened up a place for us that we might enter in, that there wouldn't be a veil there any longer, that we would have entrance into the kingdom of God, that we might be kings and priests, that we might wear a crown. All right, let's go to Psalms 92:15. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. Amen? A rock. We were looking at a rock in the desert, but it's a picture of him. Amen? And there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. Psalms 105:41. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran into the dry places like a river. Here it is. Amen. The waters rushed out. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:1-4. It says, Moreover, brethren, I would not have ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all did eat the same spiritual meat, and they all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. So out of that rock the water flowed and they drank. Picture of our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Matthew 21, verse 42. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Amen. That falling on this stone, that's a humbling of your heart. That's a worship of him, where God would be able to mold you and turn you into something like the potter with the clay, into something that you couldn't be. Amen. But if that stone is to fall on you, you guys saw a picture of it. That thing's 60 feet tall, sitting on a 200 foot tall little peak there. That thing would grind you to powder. Amen. There is no doubt. I don't know how many tons that thing weighs, but it has to be in the hundreds, I'm sure. All right, where were we? How about, let's go over here to Psalms 118. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and he is marvelous in our sight. Amen? Yeah. Cornerstone. Yeah. All right. Let's go to 1 Peter. Excuse me, sorry. If it be so, or if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of by God, precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual gifts acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, that stone which builders disallowed is the same made of the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. How many times today, I mean, if you turn on the news, the world is all about everything but our Lord and Savior. I mean, you know, that's a stumbling stone. Jesus is kind of been put aside, and it's the greatest blessing, the greatest gift that's ever been given to man. Amen. And they want to reject him. It's like, man, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You guys have no idea how good it is, amen, to fall at the chief cornerstone, amen, and have him turn you into something more than you could ever be, amen, on your own, amen. Because it's nice when he takes out the trash. That don't stink anymore. Amen. Okay. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. And peculiar is not weird. Peculiar is different. Amen. We don't have to jump off the cliff because everybody else is. We are peculiar in God, and he leads us and keeps us. Amen. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God. Amen. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Amen. You gotta like it. Okay. So let's go to Matthew 7:13. Enter in ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I don't know if you guys remember, but that picture of the rock up there, it was cracked, right? Split down the middle, all the way from top to the bottom. There is a very narrow passage, amen? Narrow is the way, and Lord, it's awesome. When you come in and you enter into His presence, when you seek the rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that's just cool. It's very symbolic to me that, wow, even the rock is split enough that you can enter in. Amen? Anyway, St. John 7. And 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Amen. So out of that rock, out of that picture of rock in the desert, they had life in that water. Amen. And then their rock, there was a way. And if we go over here to St. John 19 and 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Are you getting this? And forthwith there came out blood and water. Amen. If you let that blood cover you, it's the greatest gift you could ever imagine. No more sins. And if you partake of that living water that flowed out, amen, that is so awesome, you'll never thirst again. Amen. I think it's cool. Amen. That'll do it for me. Yeah. Thank you. Actually, we have Hank now who's going to be coming up. And
as I sat there listening to these messages, thinking to myself, wow, this is so powerful. How do I follow that? Please pray with me. Father God, we love you so. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. Father, I just ask now that you anoint these lips of clay. Holy Spirit, have your way with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Henry, about 6 weeks ago, said, how would you like to preach on Sunday, on Easter Sunday? Oh boy, sure, I jump at the chance, but guess what? That was way too long ago. And I think I have rewritten this thing 10 times since then, driving down the road to work. And I sat down last night to put it on paper, and guess what? Wasn't there no more. So this is what he gave me. Today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate the fact that our Savior is no longer in the tomb. The only religion on the face of the earth where our God lives. Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. It's held on Pentecost. Actually, could I have the first verse, please, in Deuteronomy? The Lord actually directed that his people travel to Jerusalem three times for three different feasts during the year. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one shall appear before the Lord empty-handed. And so the Jews had to travel, the men with their families, to Jerusalem three times a year. Why was that? Well, God knew. Even back then, when we didn't have TV, and they didn't have the internet, and they didn't have cell phones, people would still be too wrapped up in their lives to keep God first and foremost. So three times a year, he directed, you will stop what you're doing, and you will come and worship me. And Jesus, being the faithful Jew that he was, traveled for each of those feasts. And he was there, actually, on this day, this week, this Holy Week, for that purpose. We have no such requirement stated in the New Testament for us, yet Resurrection Sunday is the holiest day for Christians. This is the day we celebrate Christ's victory over death. Because he overcame death, we have faith that we will also overcome death and live eternally with him. That's what his word says. In Romans 8:11, we read, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. And Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, just because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to intercede for us. But why did Christ have to die? I mean, we know it happened, but why did he have to die? To understand this, we need to go back, way back, back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1. Could I have next verse, please? Yes. So in chapter 1, verse 31, God saw that he had saw all he had made, and it was very good. And there was the evening, there was the morning, the sixth day. It was very good. There was nothing wrong. There was no sin. It was perfect. Nothing out of place. But God gave his creation, Adam and Eve, free will. The free will to choose whether to obey him or to choose to disobey him. They chose against God, and sin entered God's creation because of that. Say, wait a minute. It was just an apple. They just wanted to taste the apple. They didn't choose against God, did they? Well, yeah, they did. Jesus said, you are either for me or you are against me. There is no middle ground. We are either believers or we are not. That's right. The gospel of Jesus Christ demands a decision. That's one of the reasons the world is so strongly against Christianity. You have to either decide. There's no, well, I'll just put it off. If you don't decide to follow him, you are deciding against him. So Adam and Eve exercised their free will, and they made their choice. But free will, is that really so important? I really used to wonder. I prayed about that a lot. Lord, you're all powerful. You know everything. You can do everything. You could snap your fingers, and all the evil would be gone. Is free will really that important to you? And then he actually used my 2-year-old grandson, Caden, to show me, to give me this lesson. And those of you who have worked in the youth ministry, you know what I'm talking about with Caden. He's a joy. He's a handful, but he has two speeds, stop and all out. Yes. He's got his own will, for definitely. I used to reach down and try to get a hug from Caden, and I'd grab my arms, and he'd squirm, and he'd kick and push back, but then finally he would submit and hug me. Okay, that felt good, but was it really all that? It really wasn't all that. But then there were those times when I would open the door and walk in, and he would see me from across the room and come flying and throw himself into my arms. Total abandon. That's awesome. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to throw ourselves on Him with total abandon. And you can't do that if it's forced. A forced love is no love at all. And He wants that love from us. And so, yes, free will is that important to Him. So the choice made by one man, Adam, affected billions to follow. And we, his descendant generations, are continually born with a sin nature. But from the beginning, God had a plan, a way to reconcile His children to Him. And that plan entailed Jesus, God the Son, to temporarily set aside His glory and become human. To be born of a woman, a virgin. I got Isaiah 74, or chapter 7, please. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus was to walk on the earth for a short while, showing us God Himself. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, anyone... I think that's the wrong verse. I gave you the wrong verse. I'll just continue. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. And He also came to pay the price for our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 reads, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Did Jesus deserve to die? Of course not. But He had to. He had to. Why did Jesus have to die? Because only Jesus could pay the price. Only Jesus was sinless. Only God in human form could handle the enormity of the task of having the weight of all the sins of the world put upon Him. All the sins from the beginning, Adam and Eve, all the way to the end, His second coming. And that includes the sins of everyone who's sitting in this room. He took them all. Only Jesus could handle having His very essence torn apart. From the beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had always been one. And Jesus, while He's hanging on the cross, says, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because He had taken on all of those sin. And so His very essence was severed for a short period. Only God could do that. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus was worthy. We read in Revelation chapter 5. John the Revelator is standing before the throne. Revelation chapter 5. John is standing before the throne, and God has the scroll. He has the scroll that is sealed. The scroll, many Bible scholars believe, is the deed to this earth. But John was crying because there was no one worthy to break the seals and open the scroll until the Lamb of God stepped forward. Because the Lamb of God, Jesus, was worthy. And He took back the deed to this planet. Yes, He did. Only Jesus is worthy. Mankind chose sin rather than obedience to God. That act should and does warrant judgment from a just God. Mankind deserves the eternal damnations in store for each and every one of us. Hold on a second. Wait. You can't say hell in church anymore. It's not politically correct. Well, guess what, folks? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Jesus said, either you choose Me or you choose against Me. Guess what choosing against Him gives us? But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. Praise God. He loves us so much that he created the way. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He created the way for us. And in Romans 5, 6 and 8, we read, "You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then John 3:17 and 18, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This wonderful promise states that all of us are judged guilty for breaking God's laws, but Jesus came to free us from our sin and take God's judgment upon himself. His death on the cross paid for all our sins, no matter how many or how bad they were. Maybe you're sitting here today, you know, "Yeah, you don't know how bad my sins are. No way could I be forgiven." Well, here's a newsflash for you. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. And if you think your sins are so bad, you're belittling the gift that he's given us. You're saying his blood wasn't enough? His blood absolutely was enough, no matter what that sin may be. Jesus is bigger than any sin. Or maybe you're one of those Christians with a drug problem. You have to be drugged to church every Sunday. Maybe. Scripture says our God is a jealous God. He wants full-time custody, not just Sunday morning visitations. Or maybe you've just fallen away a little. You love the Lord, but you've allowed things of the world to slowly worm their way between you and him. I don't know what your situation is. You know. God knows. Can we have the worship team back up, please? About to wrap up here. Whatever your situation is, now is the time to turn to Jesus. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Yesterday's gone, and we're not promised tomorrow. We have only today. So if the Lord is speaking to you, if he's nudging your heart, don't let your heart turn hard. Open up. Accept him. Come to him. If you've never accepted him, or you just need to draw closer to him, let today be the day that you take that step. And if you don't know how, or you just want some help, please reach out. Pastor Henry and Rosie, John and Stella, reach out to me. Reach out to any of the speakers who are up here. The purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why we're here. So please, don't let today slide. Don't let today pass. God bless you all, and have a great resurrection celebration today.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, guys. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is that all right? Praise God. Hey, let me just say, some folks might say, "Hey, why do you do stuff like this?" I say, because yeah, I'm going to tell you, hey, we got somebody's crown laying up here. Anybody want to claim this crown? No. Hey, people might ask, "Why do you do something like this?" I'm going to tell you, because the church is you. You're the church. Yeah, I'm the pastor here. But I believe God is equipping each and every one of us to do what he has for us to do in the earth today. And I know that there are even some of you probably thinking, "Hey, I can give a message." Isn't that right? Came through your mind probably saying, "Hey, I can give a message." Then there's other of you that are here today, this morning, that you might be saying something like, wow, that really touched me. Well, God, maybe I'm not right. And what I want to do right now, I want to give you an opportunity. And can I get the whole, can I get everybody to stand, please? Everybody stand. I'm going to ask for Pastor John and some of your prayer partners to come on up here. And I'm going to say this to you. The greatest opportunity that we're ever given on this planet is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Resurrection Sunday is a declaration to the world. You know, they might be Easter eggs and rabbits, but that's not us. And don't get upset if you got Easter eggs in your purse, rabbits in your purse. How many ladies got rabbits in your purse? What I'm just saying is this, look, the world looks one way, but we have to look this way. We have to look towards God. Resurrection Sunday it's a bold statement to the world. How many know that? That Jesus is alive. He's alive. There's millions of people in church today saying, Jesus is alive. Well, let me just give you the opportunity, in case you've never given your heart to Christ, or maybe you've tried, and you said, God, I've tried to walk with you, but something just keeps happening, and I don't know why, but God, I don't know. Can I tell you that God is saying to you that He will strengthen you, and He will help you, and He will guide you. He sent His Holy Spirit to help you to get to where you need to be. Is that okay? He loves you very much. That is the Holy Spirit's job in the world today, is to help you, to show you, to lead you, to guide you, so that you can be a powerful man, powerful woman in the church, in the world today. So I want to give you the opportunity. If you've never decided to allow Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray. And we're also going to pray that God would help you in everything that you're doing, okay? For some of you that have given your heart to the Lord, but you just can't seem to get over certain barriers. How many of you know there's barriers? Sometimes we just can't seem like we're getting over them. And I say, Lord, I can't. I keep falling in front of this barrier. Let me just say, God knows where you're at. So if you will, let's bow your heads. Pray, church, pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me. I'm going to say that again. I believe that Jesus died for me. My sins were upon Him. He paid my price. I believe you, Father. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. On this Resurrection Sunday, come into my heart. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. For the rest of it, let me say this. Dear Heavenly Father, pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, you know my heart. You know that I want to serve you. Lord, that thing, and everybody, every one of you know that thing. Lord, that thing. In Jesus' name, it has no power over me. Lord, I am free because you set me free. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Resurrection Sunday. Today is a day of life. How many like springtime? Do you guys like springtime? Oh, man, I'll tell you what, seeing trees coming out, seeing all the new life coming out, I'll tell you what, new life is about to flow in this house for each and every one of you. New life, things are changing. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? Things are changing. God is doing things different. It's not like you expected it. It's not like it used to be. It's not like the church you used to be, what it looks like before. It is new, and it's fresh, and it's coming. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Get ready for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Sing this song with the youth, with the worship team, and have a great Resurrection Sunday. Amen. If you need prayer,